How to never be bothered by anyone, even if they try to hurt you. There's a strange kind of power that only a few people ever master, the power to remain calm when others would explode, to stay silent when others would argue, to walk away when others beg for a reaction. And maybe you've felt it before, that deep frustration that bubbles up when someone disrespects you, misunderstands you, gossips about you behind your back, or tries to pull you into their chaos. It stings, because you're human. And the most natural instinct is to fight back, to explain, to defend, to prove that you're right and they're wrong. But here's the hard truth. The moment you let someone pull you into that emotional trap, they win. Because the real battle isn't between you and them. It's between you and your own reaction. The moment you raise your voice, the moment your blood pressure rises, the moment your peace disappears, you've handed them something they didn't earn, control over your state of mind. And this episode, it's about taking that control back, not by being colder, not by pretending things don't affect you, but by learning how to become emotionally untouchable, how to live in a world full of noise, insults and misunderstandings, and still walk through it like a mountain that doesn't move. You don't need to control other people. You just need to master one thing, your inner response. And if you learn how to do that, no one, and I mean no one, will ever be able to control you again. 1. You react because your ego is insecure. Heal that first. Most of us believe our anger and frustration come from outside, from people disrespecting us, criticizing us, or misunderstanding us. We say things like, "They made me angry," or "I only reacted because they provoked me." But if we look closely, really look, we see a deeper truth. Your reaction isn't truly caused by their words or actions. It's triggered because deep down, somewhere within you, there's insecurity, an emotional wound you haven't healed, a hidden pain you're afraid to admit exists. Think about the last time someone said something that deeply bothered you. Maybe it was an insult about your appearance, your intelligence, or your achievements. Why did it hurt so much? If someone says something that you genuinely know isn't true, it doesn't sting, it doesn't stick, you laugh it off. But when someone touches a nerve, a sensitive spot you secretly believe might be true, that's when you lash out. That's when your heart races, your face heats up, and your mind starts racing with defensive responses. That's your ego talking. The ego isn't some arrogant voice. It's the fragile part of your identity, the vulnerable self that needs constant reassurance. It fears exposure, criticism, and humiliation. The moment someone pokes at one of those fears, your ego jumps into action, desperately trying to protect itself. So, how do we stop this? How do we prevent our ego from hijacking our peace every time someone tries to provoke us? The answer isn't to build a thicker armor or to pretend we're unaffected. The answer is to heal, to dig down into those insecurities and address the reasons why we feel the need to defend ourselves so intensely. True strength isn't about ignoring the pain, it's about facing it directly. Start by asking yourself honest, uncomfortable questions. Why did that comment trigger me? What insecurity did they just uncover? Maybe you grew up feeling like you were never smart enough, attractive enough, or successful enough. Perhaps someone you cared about deeply once said something hurtful that still echoes quietly in your mind. These experiences plant seeds of doubt deep within you. Until you consciously uproot them, they'll continue to sprout weeds of reaction and anger. Healing begins with awareness. The next time you feel provoked, pause. Instead of immediately reacting, step back and observe yourself. Notice what exactly triggered you. Feel that initial sting and then look deeper. Ask yourself gently, why am I really upset? What am I afraid of? It may be uncomfortable, painful even, to acknowledge these truths about yourself, but until you do, you'll remain vulnerable to every passing comment or judgment. This isn't weakness. It's the first step toward true emotional resilience. Imagine your insecurities like old wounds covered by temporary bandages. Every insult, criticism, or misunderstanding is like someone brushing against those wounds, causing fresh pain. Your anger is your way of protecting that sensitive spot. But when you finally tend to the wound, when you clean it out, apply medicine, and allow it to heal properly, it no longer hurts when touched. That's exactly how emotional healing works. When you heal the wound beneath your reactions, no one can provoke you again. Consider the people you admire most, the ones who remain calm, poised, and peaceful in chaotic situations. They're not emotionless robots. They've simply done the inner work. They know their insecurities intimately and have made peace with them. They no longer fear exposure or judgment. Their confidence comes not from perfection, but from acceptance. Acceptance of their own imperfections, acceptance of their humanity. Because they're at peace within, external disturbances don't shatter them. You can reach that level too. Every trigger is an invitation to heal. Every painful reaction is a guide, pointing directly at where you need attention. Don't ignore it. Don't blame the other person. Thank them silently for revealing what needs work within you. Commit today to being brave enough to face your insecurities. Journal about them, talk openly about them, or even seek guidance from someone you trust. The key is honesty. You must acknowledge and confront your vulnerabilities directly. Only then can you truly become emotionally untouchable. Because when the foundation inside you is strong, nothing anyone says or does can shake it. You'll feel compassion rather than anger toward those who lash out. You'll recognize their pain, their own insecurities screaming beneath their actions. And instead of reacting, you'll feel calm, steady, and free. Master your inner world first, and watch how effortlessly you begin to master everything else. 2. People's words reveal more about them than they do about you. When someone says something hurtful, cruel, or judgmental, the instinctive reaction is to internalize it, to immediately question ourselves. We ask, is this true? Or we wonder, what did I do to deserve this? But here's a critical shift you must make if you truly want to become emotionally untouchable. Realize that every word spoken by another person is a reflection of their inner world, not yours. Pause and think about that for a moment. Imagine a person who constantly criticizes, finds fault, or seems always ready to belittle others. That person isn't really talking about you. They're unknowingly describing their own inner turmoil, insecurities, and frustrations. A peaceful, confident person doesn't throw stones. They have no need to tear someone else down to feel secure. Only someone who is unhappy, uncertain, or deeply insecure feels the urge to judge or diminish others. Yet, our automatic reaction is often to absorb this negativity like a sponge. You replay their harsh words in your mind, giving them power, letting their judgment seep into your sense of self-worth. But ask yourself this: if someone hands you poison, would you willingly drink it? Of course not. Then why willingly internalize emotional poison handed to you in words? This mental clarity is your greatest defense. When someone attacks your character, your appearance, your intelligence, or your decisions, remember that they're revealing something important, not about you, but about themselves. They're showing you precisely what they're struggling with. Their harshness toward you is a subtle confession of their own fears, bitterness, or disappointment with life. Consider an example from daily life. Maybe you have a friend who criticizes your ambitions. They constantly question your dreams, mock your goals, or subtly suggest you're deluded for even trying. If you look closer, you'll notice something profound. They're projecting their own fears of failure onto you. Perhaps they once had a dream they didn't pursue, or ambitions they gave up on. Every critique aimed at you is really a bitter reminder of their own unrealized potential. Once you see that, their words lose their power completely. You begin to feel compassion rather than anger, because you recognize their hidden pain. Marcus Aurelius, the great Stoic philosopher, said, "The best revenge is to be unlike him who performed the injury." In other words, when someone insults or hurts you, the greatest response is not revenge, anger, or retaliation. It's simply refusing to be like them, refusing to internalize their bitterness, refusing to mirror their negativity. This doesn't mean becoming cold or indifferent. It means being emotionally intelligent enough to understand that you don't have to take ownership of another person's pain or negativity. The moment you stop personalizing the insults, judgments, and negative comments, your entire inner world changes. You suddenly become lighter, freer, more at peace. This is an act of emotional maturity. Instead of getting defensive or angry, you step back, observe calmly, and recognize, "This isn't about me." You understand clearly that emotionally wounded people wound others. Hurt people hurt others. Their attempt to inflict pain isn't personal. It's a desperate, misguided attempt to transfer their own emotional weight onto someone else. Once you understand this, you can approach interactions with incredible strength and serenity. Even when someone purposely tries to hurt you, you respond not with anger or pain, but with silent awareness. You don't react impulsively. You respond consciously. You don't seek revenge, you seek understanding. You don't argue, you silently acknowledge their struggle, even if they can't. This approach transforms you from a victim of others' opinions into an observer of human nature. You begin to see criticism, insults, or negativity as insights rather than attacks. They reveal the deeper emotional landscape of the person delivering them. Their anger becomes transparent. Their judgment becomes revealing. Their cruelty becomes a cry for help, compassion, or understanding. Next time someone says something hurtful or unfair to you, pause for a few seconds. Take a deep breath and repeat silently to yourself, "Their words say nothing about me, but they say everything about them." Watch how quickly your frustration and anger dissipate. Notice how powerfully you shift from hurt to calmness, from insecurity to confidence. This simple realization that others' words reflect their reality, not yours, is a profound, liberating truth. It's one of the foundational secrets of Stoicism and emotional resilience. It teaches you to maintain your inner peace no matter what storm is thrown at you. Master this mindset, and you will never again feel shaken by someone else's opinions or judgments, because their negativity was never truly about you. It was always about them. Your inner peace and emotional stability depend solely on this clarity. Guard it wisely. 3. Silence is the weapon of the powerful. Use it wisely. Silence has often been misunderstood as weakness, as surrender, as a sign of defeat. But nothing could be further from the truth. Silence, when used consciously and deliberately, can become your most potent weapon. It isn't passive resignation, it's active wisdom. It's not absence, it's presence, calm, powerful, commanding presence. Think of a situation where someone intentionally tried to provoke you, Maybe they insulted you publicly, undermined your efforts, or attacked your character directly. The natural impulse is immediate retaliation. To defend your honor, to prove your point, or at the very least, to make sure everyone hears your side of the story. But here's the paradoxical power of silence. When you choose not to react, when you simply hold your peace and stand firm in quiet dignity, something fascinating happens. First, your silence creates uncertainty. The person trying to provoke you suddenly finds themselves off balance. They expected anger, defense, argument, but you give them nothing. Their carefully prepared attack now hangs awkwardly in the air, unanswered and unsupported. They lose their momentum because silence doesn't offer them ammunition. They're forced to confront their own words without distraction, without noise. Your silence becomes a mirror, reflecting their actions clearly, sharply, and uncomfortably back at them. Secondly, silence shifts control. The moment someone succeeds in making you lose your temper, they gain a kind of temporary authority over you. You become predictable, manipulable, and easy to disturb. But when you remain silent, you demonstrate something far more powerful: emotional mastery. By withholding a reaction, you're effectively saying, "Your words aren't strong enough to shake me." Your calmness speaks louder than shouting. Your composure asserts dominance without needing to dominate. You've made yourself untouchable simply by deciding not to engage. But mastering silence requires more than just biting your tongue in frustration. That's forced silence, born out of restraint rather than wisdom. True silence, the kind that commands respect, is born out of deep understanding and self-control. It's cultivated by practicing internal stillness, clarity, and emotional maturity. The Stoics emphasized the power of silence in various ways. Seneca once wrote, "Silence is a lesson learned from the many sufferings of life." In other words, it comes through experience. It's the mature understanding that speaking or defending yourself to people determined to misunderstand you is a waste of precious energy. Marcus Aurelius went further, reminding us to focus not on responding to provocations, but on maintaining inner peace, regardless of circumstances. When provoked, his advice was always the same: observe, detach, and remain silent. Yet silence isn't always easy. It demands strength, patience, and self-awareness. The ego craves recognition. It demands to be understood, to be right, and to be validated by others. Silence denies the ego that immediate gratification. That's why mastering silence is mastering your ego. So how can you practically apply this wisdom? Next time someone intentionally pushes your buttons, don't react. Instead, pause, take a breath, and deliberately choose silence. Notice the immediate shift in power dynamics. Feel the subtle strength that emerges within you. Watch the other person's discomfort as they lose the emotional response they hope to provoke. Pay attention to how your heart rate slows down, your mind clears, and your dignity remains intact. Your silence doesn't mean you don't care. It doesn't mean you condone bad behavior. It means you understand something profound, that real power is internal. It comes from being in control of your emotions, from refusing to be dragged down to another's level of chaos. In fact, the most influential leaders, thinkers, and figures throughout history all understood this. Nelson Mandela once wrote, "It is never my custom to use words lightly. If 27 years in prison have done anything to us, it was to use silence as a weapon." Mandela knew firsthand the extraordinary power of remaining quiet in the face of provocation. He knew silence wasn't surrender. It was strength. It was resilience. It was ultimate power. In everyday life, silence can become your greatest ally. When co-workers gossip or spread rumors, silence starves their negativity. When someone insults you, silence makes their words seem trivial. When someone misunderstands or misrepresents you, silence lets their assumptions collapse under their own weight. To master silence, practice regularly. It may feel strange at first, especially if you're accustomed to defending yourself or constantly responding, but gradually it becomes second nature. You'll find immense peace and power in simply allowing others' negativity to pass through you without leaving a mark. Remember this clearly. Your peace of mind, your inner strength, and your dignity are infinitely more valuable than having the last word or proving your point. Choose silence wisely and watch how effortlessly your personal power grows. You'll discover a profound truth. Sometimes the loudest message is delivered without words. 4. You don't owe anyone an explanation. You owe yourself peace. We spend far too much of our precious life energy explaining ourselves, justifying our decisions, our dreams, our failures, and even our successes to people who've already made up their minds about us. It's as if we're constantly standing on trial, presenting evidence and arguments, desperately trying to prove our innocence and worthiness to a jury of indifferent or even hostile spectators. But have you ever asked yourself honestly, why do you feel the need to justify your existence to anyone? When you stop to think about it, the urge to explain yourself to everyone, family, friends, co-workers, strangers online, comes from a hidden insecurity. Deep inside, there's a part of you still seeking approval, permission, and validation. It comes from an unspoken fear. If I don't explain myself clearly enough, I might be misunderstood, rejected, or abandoned. That fear pushes you to clarify every misunderstanding, to defend every criticism, and to justify every decision. But here's the reality. The more you explain yourself, the less powerful you feel. Each justification drains your confidence just a bit more. Every time you seek approval from someone unwilling to grant it, you weaken yourself emotionally. You slowly erode your self-respect, and in the process, hand over control of your peace of mind to others. So, let's be crystal clear about something critical. You don't owe anyone explanations for living your life on your terms. You don't owe anyone a justification for why you made certain choices or why you pursued certain dreams. You don't owe others an explanation for your values, your beliefs, or your priorities. The only thing you truly owe yourself, and this is non-negotiable, is peace. Your peace is the bedrock upon which every other meaningful aspect of your life is built. Without it, nothing else matters. Not success, not money, not even love. If your peace is consistently compromised because you're constantly justifying yourself, you've lost the very essence of what makes life worth living. Think about how often you find yourself in situations where someone questions your choices. Maybe you chose a different career path, decided not to marry yet, or chose a different lifestyle. Immediately, you feel a compulsion rising inside you to explain yourself, to convince them your choice was right, valid, acceptable. But in reality, the person questioning you has already decided what they think. Your explanation rarely changes their mind, but it almost always disturbs your inner peace. Learning to resist this compulsion to justify yourself is not arrogance, it's profound emotional maturity. It's realizing that people committed to misunderstanding you won't change their minds because of your explanation. People who genuinely care about you won't need elaborate justifications. They'll trust your judgment and support your path. Those who don't support you won't change simply because you justify yourself repeatedly. The great Stoic philosopher Epictetus famously said, "If anyone tells you that a certain person speaks ill of you, do not make excuses about what is said of you, but answer, 'He was ignorant of my other faults, else he would not have mentioned these alone.'" In other words, there's no need to justify yourself or prove yourself innocent. Accept that people will misunderstand you. Accept that people will criticize you. Let them. Their opinions don't define your truth. Your inner peace does. When you make this shift, when you consciously stop offering unnecessary explanations, you reclaim your power. You instantly feel lighter, stronger, freer. You no longer waste your precious energy and mental clarity rehearsing arguments or defenses in your head. You become profoundly centered and confident in your decisions because they're yours, chosen thoughtfully, deliberately, authentically. Practicing this mindset daily is transformational. Next time someone questions your choices or criticizes your path, resist the urge to immediately defend or justify. Pause, take a breath, and simply reply, "Thank you for sharing your perspective." Don't explain further. Let their criticism fade into silence. Observe how quickly their opinion loses its power over you. This is not an easy practice, especially at first. Your mind will initially resist. Your ego will shout, "But I must defend myself. I must explain why I'm right." Resist that urge. Every time you do, you gain a little more inner strength and emotional freedom. Remember, your peace is more valuable than anyone's approval. Your dignity matters more than their opinions. Your quiet confidence is stronger than their loud judgments. If someone refuses to understand your path, let them remain confused. If they misunderstand your intentions, let them remain misled. You do not owe the world endless explanations for being authentically yourself. You do owe yourself a peaceful heart, a clear mind, and unwavering self-respect. Guard that peace fiercely. Protect it. Prioritize it. Because at the end of your life, you won't regret being misunderstood by others. You'll regret spending so much time trying to make them understand while you sacrificed your own peace. Never forget, you don't owe anyone an explanation. You only owe yourself the freedom, joy, and tranquility of a life lived authentically and unapologetically. 5. Accept that you will be misunderstood. That's freedom. One of the most painful realizations we have in life, often discovered after years of struggle, is that no matter how clearly we speak, how precisely we choose our words, or how passionately we explain ourselves, there will always be people who misunderstand us. There will always be someone who sees our intentions through a distorted lens, who twists our words, or who simply refuses to see us as we truly are. This truth is difficult to accept, especially when we believe we've done everything right, acted with sincerity, kindness, and integrity. We want to shout, "This isn't fair. Why can't they just see me as I am?" But here's the crucial truth you must understand to reclaim your peace. Being misunderstood is not a failure. It's inevitable, and it's not your burden to carry. From an early age, we learn to equate being understood with being accepted and loved. Misunderstanding triggers deep emotional wounds because it threatens our need for connection, validation, and approval. We desperately want people, especially the ones we care about, to understand our intentions, our heart, our motivations. Yet, life repeatedly teaches us a harsh lesson. Some people are committed to misunderstanding us no matter what we do. Here lies the key to emotional freedom. You must learn to let go of your attachment to being understood by everyone. Accepting this is not surrender, it's liberation. It's choosing peace over endless explanation, clarity over confusion, self-respect over external validation. Marcus Aurelius once said, "Everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth." Think deeply about these words. Every person perceives the world through their own unique lens, shaped by their experiences, fears, insecurities, and biases. Your intentions, your actions, even your sincerity will always pass through this filter. What comes out on the other side is something you cannot control, no matter how hard you try. Imagine you are a clear, calm lake. People who misunderstand you are those who look into your waters, but can only see distorted reflections of themselves, reflections warped by their fears, doubts, or insecurities. No matter how pure or transparent your intentions are, you cannot change how someone else perceives your reflection. Their vision is clouded by their own inner turmoil, their unresolved pain, their past experiences. This has nothing to do with who you truly are. Once you deeply internalize this understanding, you experience genuine liberation. You become emotionally untethered from the impossible task of managing others' perceptions. Instead of striving for universal approval, you start striving for authenticity. Instead of fighting to correct misunderstandings, you begin to calmly accept that being misunderstood by some is inevitable. This acceptance frees you. It breaks chains you didn't even realize you were wearing. True freedom isn't convincing everyone to see you as you are. It's recognizing that you don't need universal understanding to live an authentic, meaningful life. True emotional maturity means learning to say gently, with clarity and inner calm. You don't have to understand me. My truth remains the same, whether you grasp it or not. Think about the historical figures who changed the world. Socrates was profoundly misunderstood and condemned by his own society. Galileo was persecuted for his truth. Many visionary artists, inventors, and thinkers throughout history were misunderstood by their contemporaries. Yet today, we honor them precisely because they chose truth over acceptance. They chose freedom over conformity. In your own life, practice this gentle acceptance daily. When someone misunderstands you, whether at work, at home, or in social situations, resist the urge to immediately correct them. Instead, observe your feelings. Notice how deeply the misunderstanding stings. Realize that your pain comes from the belief that you need universal acceptance to feel worthy. Then, quietly remind yourself, their misunderstanding doesn't change my worth. I'm not responsible for their perception. This subtle practice of acceptance gradually strengthens your emotional resilience. Each time you choose peace over explanation, you reclaim a piece of yourself. You rebuild your confidence from within, rather than seeking approval externally. You stop investing energy into a losing battle, the battle for universal acceptance, and redirect your energy into your own growth, your own dreams, your own purpose. This acceptance brings an extraordinary freedom, freedom to speak your truth boldly, without needing to constantly defend it, freedom to live authentically without fear of being misjudged, freedom to walk your path with dignity, knowing clearly that not everyone needs to understand or support it. Embrace being misunderstood as a badge of courage and authenticity. It's proof you're not conforming for the sake of acceptance. It means you're thinking independently, living deliberately, and honoring your truth above all else. As you practice this acceptance, you'll discover profound peace. You'll feel lighter, freer, and stronger. You'll become someone who no longer worries about perceptions, judgments, or misunderstandings. You'll become someone who genuinely understands that being misunderstood isn't a failure. It's inevitable, natural, and ultimately freeing. And when you fully accept this, you finally become emotionally untouchable. 6. The more you try to control people, the more they control you. It's fascinating and somewhat tragic how much of our inner peace and happiness we sacrifice trying to change the behavior and attitudes of other people. We spend years, even decades, believing the dangerous illusion that if only we could control what others think, say, or do, we'd finally feel secure and happy. But here's the brutal yet liberating truth. The more desperately you try to control others, the more control you willingly surrender to them. Let's reflect deeply on why this happens. When you're invested in changing someone's behavior, whether it's your partner, friend, family member, or even a stranger, your emotional state becomes permanently tied to their actions. If they don't respond the way you hope, frustration floods in. If they disappoint you or act against your expectations, bitterness and anger quickly consume your peace. Without realizing it, you've handed them immense power over your inner world. Think of how many times you've tried to change someone's mind or convince them to see things your way. Maybe you've argued passionately, pleaded logically, or even resorted to emotional appeals. Yet how often did that genuinely work? More importantly, how much energy, time, and peace of mind did you sacrifice in the process? The truth is, most attempts to control others fail spectacularly. Not because your arguments were weak, but because the premise itself is fundamentally flawed. You can never truly control another human being's beliefs, feelings, or actions. At best, you influence. At worst, you exhaust yourself emotionally. Epictetus, one of Stoicism's wisest teachers, offered a profound reminder about this very issue. He said, "Freedom is the only worthy goal in life. It is won by disregarding things that lie beyond our control." Think carefully about what this means. Your inner freedom depends entirely on knowing what you can and cannot control. And other people's choices and actions will always fall firmly in the category of what you cannot control. This doesn't mean becoming passive, indifferent, or uncaring. It means understanding clearly that the only true locus of control you possess is within yourself, your thoughts, your choices, your reactions. When you shift your focus from trying to manage others' behavior to managing your responses, something magical occurs. You reclaim your power. You rediscover peace. You become emotionally untouchable because you've taken back the reins of your own internal world. Consider the simple yet powerful Stoic exercise known as the dichotomy of control. Consciously separate what you can control from what you cannot. Make a habit of asking yourself daily, especially when frustrated, "Am I upset because I'm trying to control something beyond my power?" If the answer is yes, gently release your grip. Shift your focus back to what you actually control, your perceptions, your interpretations, and your choices. Imagine a scenario. You're at work and someone consistently behaves disrespectfully or unfairly toward you. Initially, your instinct might be to change them, to argue, complain, or confront. But each attempt leaves you drained, frustrated, and emotionally exhausted. What if you took another approach? Instead of focusing on changing their behavior, focus solely on how you respond. Choose consciously not to allow their negativity to dictate your internal peace. Observe their behavior calmly, objectively, and without expectation. Decide clearly how you'll respond, not from emotion, but from clarity and inner strength. When you practice this approach regularly, you discover something remarkable. People lose their power over you. They might still behave negatively, but their behavior no longer emotionally disturbs you. You become the calm observer of their chaos, rather than the unwilling participant. You free yourself completely by understanding clearly that your happiness and peace no longer depend on them changing. This principle transforms relationships, friendships, and interactions at every level. Parents become better parents when they stop trying to control every action their child makes and instead calmly guide and influence with patience and understanding. Partners enjoy healthier relationships when they stop trying to change each other and accept one another as they truly are. Professionals become more successful and confident when they stop obsessing about controlling co-workers' behavior and instead concentrate solely on their performance and emotional resilience. The wisdom of surrendering control is both practical and deeply philosophical. Stoics remind us that life, nature, and human behavior have their own natural flow. Attempting to forcefully control them is like swimming against a powerful current. It exhausts you without bringing real progress. Real power lies in understanding this flow clearly and aligning yourself with it. Real strength lies in choosing consciously how to respond rather than react. Real freedom is recognizing clearly that others' choices and behavior never define your peace. The more desperately you try to control others, the more power you lose. The more clearly you accept others' behavior as outside your control and focus only on your own responses, the more powerful, free, and emotionally untouchable you become. Master this truth, practice it daily, and watch as your emotional strength grows beyond measure. 7. Nothing they do has meaning until you assign it. Life itself is neutral. Words are just sounds, actions are just movements, and events are simply occurrences. They have no intrinsic meaning until we give them one. Yet we unconsciously assign significance to every word someone utters, every glance they cast our way, every action they perform, often interpreting them in ways that disturb our inner peace. This, more than anything else, is why we so easily become bothered, angry, or emotionally reactive. Pause for a moment and deeply internalize this profound truth. You, and you alone, are the meaning maker of your experiences. Nobody else can impose meaning upon your life unless you willingly accept it. Every insult, every praise, every criticism, every disappointment is utterly powerless until you assign it meaning. And when you truly grasp this concept, your entire relationship with people, challenges, and setbacks fundamentally changes. Imagine someone makes a negative remark about your work, appearance, or abilities. Initially, you might feel hurt, angry, or insecure. But what exactly happened? Did their words actually harm you? Did their criticism truly define your worth? Of course not. The real harm comes solely from the interpretation you immediately assigned to their words. The insult didn't disturb your peace. Your internal story about the insult did. Think about this carefully. If you didn't believe at some level that their words might hold truth, you'd brush them off easily, even laugh at their absurdity. The discomfort arises precisely because your mind unconsciously assigns significance to their words, often confirming an existing fear or insecurity you hold inside. Marcus Aurelius famously wrote in his Meditations, "If you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but your estimate of it, and this you have the power to revoke at any moment." Reflect deeply on what this means. External events have no inherent emotional power until we grant them meaning. Your suffering isn't caused by what someone says or does. It's caused by the meaning you've unconsciously accepted as truth. When you realize clearly that nothing can affect you without your conscious permission, a radical transformation occurs. You become emotionally untouchable, not because you're indifferent, but because you recognize clearly that you have absolute control over your internal narrative. The Stoics taught the art of reframing experiences deliberately, instead of instinctively assigning negative meanings to difficult situations. Practice consciously reframing them in empowering ways. When someone criticizes you harshly, instead of interpreting their criticism as an attack on your character, reinterpret it as a reflection of their struggles, or perhaps even as valuable feedback you can use constructively. Consider this example. You deliver a presentation at work, and your boss criticizes it harshly in front of your colleagues. Initially, your mind might spin into anxiety and anger, assigning negative meanings like, I'm not good enough, everyone thinks I'm incompetent, or I've embarrassed myself. But what if instead you consciously pause, breathe, and reframe the experience clearly and calmly? You could tell yourself, this feedback is useful. It's helping me become better. My worth isn't determined by one presentation. Immediately, your emotional reaction transforms from destructive to constructive. Practice this technique daily in small and large situations. Every criticism, every rejection, every difficult interaction offers you a perfect opportunity to master your internal narratives. You alone decide whether the event weakens or strengthens you, whether it destroys or empowers you. This doesn't mean denying reality or ignoring genuinely painful experiences. It means recognizing clearly that suffering arises from the meaning you give these experiences, not from the experiences themselves. When you master the habit of consciously choosing empowering interpretations, you reclaim your emotional freedom. Try this exercise regularly. Each evening, recall situations that disturbed you emotionally. Carefully examine the meaning you assigned to them. Were these meanings empowering or disempowering? How could you reinterpret them differently? As you practice this awareness consistently, you'll notice an incredible change. Your emotional resilience skyrockets. Events that once rattled you deeply now barely affect you. Your internal narrative is entirely within your power to control. No one can rob you of peace unless you willingly assign their actions negative meanings. When you finally grasp this clearly, you'll feel liberated from emotional turmoil forever. This principle isn't about becoming emotionless or detached. It's about becoming emotionally intelligent, deeply aware of how you shape your emotional reality. You begin consciously responding rather than instinctively reacting. You stop automatically assigning negative meanings and instead deliberately choose empowering ones. Remember always, nothing others say or do can truly disturb you until you assign it meaning. Guard this power carefully, reclaim it consciously. When you do, you become the master of your emotions, reactions, and ultimately, your life. You become truly and permanently emotionally untouchable. 8. Detachment is not coldness, it's maturity. When most people hear the word detachment, they mistakenly imagine a cold, indifferent individual, someone emotionally disconnected from others, lacking empathy or compassion. But true emotional detachment isn't about becoming heartless, unfeeling, or withdrawn. Rather, it's a powerful form of emotional maturity, one of life's highest virtues, that allows you to deeply engage with life, yet remain unshaken by external turmoil. Imagine standing in the center of a hurricane. All around you, chaos swirls violently, debris flies, winds roar, destruction threatens. Yet, precisely in the eye of the storm, where you stand, exists absolute stillness, calmness, and peace. This is the true essence of emotional detachment. It's not ignoring the storm, it's standing peacefully at its very center, fully aware of chaos, yet untouched by it. Stoics referred to this concept as apatheia, which doesn't mean apathy or indifference. Rather, apatheia describes a state of internal equilibrium, a perfect balance between caring deeply about life and yet being untouched by emotional extremes. The detached person loves deeply, feels strongly, engages wholeheartedly, yet never becomes a victim of those feelings. They remain emotionally centered, grounded, stable, no matter the external chaos. The opposite, emotional attachment, is why we suffer so deeply. We attach our happiness, self-worth, and peace of mind to external things and people. Our emotions rise and fall dramatically based on what others say, think, or do. We become like ships battered by storms, tossed violently because we tied ourselves too closely to external anchors. Our happiness becomes hostage to circumstances beyond our control. True emotional detachment breaks these chains completely. It frees you to love without becoming emotionally dependent. It allows you to deeply care about someone without needing their approval, validation, or constant reassurance. It empowers you to engage fully with the world, yet maintain your inner peace independent of external circumstances. How do you achieve this delicate balance? First, recognize clearly the difference between healthy detachment and unhealthy emotional distancing. Healthy detachment means loving without clinging, engaging without depending, caring without losing yourself. Unhealthy distancing means shutting off emotionally, isolating yourself, or becoming indifferent to life's experiences. Detachment demands that you cultivate deep emotional intelligence and self-awareness. It means recognizing that external events, opinions, or behaviors are never truly personal. They don't reflect your worth. They simply reflect reality as it is. Someone's criticism isn't a judgment of your value. It's a reflection of their internal perspective. Someone's rejection isn't proof you're unworthy. It's simply a demonstration of their personal preferences, insecurities, or circumstances. When you deeply internalize this perspective, something remarkable happens. You begin genuinely engaging with life, relationships, and challenges without emotional dependency. Your happiness no longer hinges on circumstances or outcomes beyond your control. You're free to care deeply, to engage passionately, to love sincerely, but without the anxiety or fear that comes from attachment. You remain calm, confident, and secure in yourself, no matter how others behave. Epictetus explained this beautifully when he said, "Freedom is not achieved by satisfying desire, but by eliminating it." He wasn't talking about becoming passionless. He was describing freedom from emotional dependency. Detachment allows you to desire without desperation, to love without neediness, to engage without attachment. Practicing this principle is deeply liberating. Consider relationships. Many people enter them emotionally attached, needing constant reassurance, approval, and validation. This inevitably creates anxiety, jealousy, insecurity. But if you approach relationships from a place of healthy detachment, you love fully without becoming dependent. You engage completely without surrendering your inner peace. You enjoy closeness without suffocating the other person. Paradoxically, relationships built on healthy detachment become stronger, healthier, and more fulfilling. Think also of professional or personal disappointments, losing a job, failing at something important, facing rejection. With emotional attachment, these experiences devastate your sense of self-worth. You feel broken, shaken, and lost. But with detachment, you experience disappointments differently. You still feel pain, but not the kind that destroys your inner peace. Instead, you observe your disappointment objectively, learn from it, and move forward gracefully. To cultivate emotional detachment, practice regularly observing your emotions without immediately reacting. Feel deeply, but don't immediately surrender control. Remind yourself constantly that your emotional state is always your responsibility, never someone else's. Gradually, you develop a natural calmness, an unshakable internal peace, independent of circumstances. This maturity transforms every aspect of life. You become powerful, not because you're indifferent, but because you refuse to attach your internal peace to external outcomes. You no longer cling desperately to people, approval, or validation. You enjoy them without becoming dependent. Your happiness, peace, and self-worth become entirely internal, unaffected by life's unpredictable changes. Remember always, detachment isn't coldness, it's maturity, wisdom, and strength. It's the highest form of emotional freedom. Master this truth, practice it daily, and you will become permanently, beautifully, and powerfully emotionally untouchable. 9. Practice non-reaction like a discipline. Train daily. Imagine you're walking down the street, peacefully enjoying your day. Suddenly, someone rudely bumps into you and keeps walking without a word. Your instinct might be immediate anger, irritation, a desire to confront them. It feels justified. After all, they disturbed your peace, right? But think deeply about this scenario. Did their action truly disturb you? Or was it your reaction that shattered your peace? Your reaction, your internal emotional response, is always within your control. Yet most of us rarely treat emotional reactions as something we can train, practice, and master. We view reactions as automatic, instinctive, uncontrollable. This is a dangerous misconception. Reactivity is not a permanent personality trait. It's merely a habit you can consciously retrain. If you truly want emotional resilience, if you genuinely desire lasting inner peace, you must approach non-reactivity the same way athletes approach training, systematically, deliberately, and consistently. Non-reaction must become a discipline you practice daily until it's deeply embedded in your character. Think of non-reactivity as emotional fitness training. Just as you strengthen your physical muscles through daily exercise, you must regularly practice emotional exercises that build inner strength, calmness, and clarity. Each small annoyance, each minor frustration, and each challenging interaction offers you a perfect training opportunity. The ancient Stoics considered this discipline central to their philosophy. Marcus Aurelius wrote daily reminders to himself, affirming that emotional mastery wasn't achieved overnight, but through continuous, disciplined practice. He noted, "The nearer a man comes to a calm mind, the closer he is to strength." He understood clearly, peace isn't accidental, it's trained deliberately. So, how exactly do you train non-reactivity practically? Start small. Choose everyday situations as training grounds. Maybe you're stuck in traffic, running late, and your frustration rises. Instead of immediately surrendering to irritation, consciously pause. Take a deep breath. Observe your irritation calmly. Remind yourself gently, "I can choose not to react." Practice holding space between stimulus and response, slowly lengthening the gap. Initially, this gap might last a mere second, but with consistent practice, it expands until emotional reactions no longer dominate your life. Next, consciously visualize situations that typically provoke strong reactions. An argument with a partner, criticism at work, a heated family debate. Mentally rehearse responding calmly, confidently, and non-reactively. Imagine clearly and vividly how an emotionally intelligent, calm version of you would handle these scenarios. Regular visualization prepares your mind to remain centered when real-life challenges occur. Just as professional athletes visualize victory before competition, your mind becomes conditioned for emotional victory in daily interactions. Another powerful training technique is daily journaling or reflection. Each night, review situations that triggered emotional reactions. Ask yourself thoughtfully, what exactly caused my reaction? How could I respond better next time? This habit of regular self-reflection increases self-awareness and gradually reduces impulsive reactions. Understand clearly that initial training stages can be challenging. Reactivity has been your habitual response for years, even decades. Your brain automatically follows deeply ingrained pathways of irritation, anger, or frustration. Rewiring these pathways requires conscious, deliberate effort. Expect setbacks, but recognize each setback as valuable feedback. Treat emotional resilience training exactly like physical fitness. Consistency matters far more than immediate perfection. Over time, as you practice daily, you'll notice remarkable changes. Situations that once triggered immediate anger or frustration no longer shake you. You experience incredible emotional clarity, calmness, and strength. Instead of automatically reacting, you consciously choose how to respond. You become masterful at managing your internal state, regardless of external circumstances. Picture the profound power this gives you. Imagine someone criticizing you harshly. Previously, your immediate reaction might have been defensive anger, hurt feelings, or anxiety. Now, after disciplined training, you calmly observe their criticism. You pause deliberately, breathe deeply, and choose consciously how to respond, or perhaps not to respond at all. You remain entirely in control of your inner world. This disciplined practice transforms relationships dramatically. Arguments become constructive conversations. Difficult colleagues or family members no longer control your emotional state. You feel confident, secure, and unshakable, even amidst emotional chaos. Most importantly, disciplined non-reactivity grants extraordinary personal freedom. You're no longer emotionally enslaved by external events. Your happiness no longer depends on how others behave. You feel permanently secure, knowing clearly that nothing external can disturb your peace without your consent. Remember always, emotional resilience isn't accidental. It's consciously practiced daily. It's a discipline like meditation, exercise, or healthy eating. Commit fully to this daily emotional training, and gradually, inevitably, you'll become profoundly resilient, calm, and emotionally untouchable. Master this discipline, and you master your life. 10. Master your internal world, and no one can shake you. Here's the deepest truth about emotional resilience, one that transforms your entire existence once fully understood. Your outer life, the way you respond to people, events, challenges, and setbacks, is always a direct reflection of your inner world. Your inner thoughts, beliefs, and emotional patterns shape your external reactions and experiences. If your inner world is chaotic, insecure, or fearful, every external disturbance will shake you profoundly. But if your inner world is calm, stable, and grounded, no external force can truly disturb you. Think deeply about what this means. Most people spend their entire lives attempting to control external circumstances, hoping that peace, happiness, and strength will come from outside. They chase validation, approval, success, recognition, all in a desperate search for security. Yet, ironically, the harder you seek external security, the more fragile you become internally. Your peace constantly depends on things outside your control. The great Stoics realized clearly that genuine emotional strength lies solely within, never outside. Marcus Aurelius wrote profoundly in his Meditations, "Look within. Within is the fountain of good, and it will ever bubble up if you will ever dig." He understood something essential. Inner peace, clarity, and strength never depend on external conditions. They depend solely on your internal mastery. Consider your internal world as a garden. Without deliberate care, weeds, negative emotions, fears, insecurities grow uncontrollably. These weeds choke your happiness, confidence, and peace. Every external disturbance easily triggers these weeds, causing anxiety, anger, or emotional turmoil. But if you consciously cultivate your internal garden, planting self-awareness, emotional clarity, inner strength, compassion, and self-control, you create an unshakable foundation. External disturbances become minor gusts of wind, unable to shake your deeply rooted emotional stability. How do you practically cultivate this internal mastery daily? First, prioritize regular self-reflection and self-awareness. Set aside intentional moments every day, morning or evening, to examine your inner landscape. Ask yourself deeply reflective questions. How am I feeling today? Why am I experiencing these emotions? Which beliefs or thoughts trigger these feelings? This practice of daily introspection gradually increases your emotional intelligence, allowing you to recognize emotional patterns early and manage them consciously. Secondly, consciously reprogram your inner narratives. Most emotional turmoil arises from unconscious negative stories we repeatedly tell ourselves. Stories like, "I'm not good enough. People will judge me. I must prove my worth." These narratives create emotional fragility. Identify these negative inner stories clearly, then consciously rewrite them into empowering truths. "My worth is never defined externally. I don't need approval to feel secure. My inner peace always remains within my control." Daily repetition and conscious reinforcement reshape your inner beliefs profoundly. Thirdly, practice mindful meditation regularly. Meditation isn't mere relaxation, it's disciplined mental training. Each meditation session strengthens your ability to observe emotions calmly without immediately reacting. Over time, meditation profoundly enhances your emotional self-control, inner peace, and mental clarity. It transforms your internal landscape from chaotic to serene, from reactive to responsive, from fragile to unbreakable. Fourth, consciously engage in daily Stoic practices. Remind yourself daily that external circumstances never define your emotional state. You alone choose your responses. Every challenge becomes an opportunity to practice emotional mastery. Each interaction becomes training ground for calmness and strength. Gradually, these Stoic principles become instinctive responses deeply embedded in your character. Finally, recognize clearly that emotional mastery is lifelong growth. Your internal garden requires daily care, consistent practice, and patient nurturing. Initially, weeds of fear, insecurity, or negativity may continue appearing, but gradually your consistent practice reduces their strength dramatically. You experience extraordinary emotional freedom, clarity, and resilience as your internal world becomes permanently peaceful. Imagine clearly how profoundly this internal mastery transforms your life. No external event, criticism, rejection, failure, or disappointment can truly disturb you. Your emotional foundation remains permanently secure. You experience life with clarity, compassion, and strength. fully engaged yet profoundly detached from external chaos. Relationships flourish because you no longer depend on others' validation. Challenges become opportunities rather than obstacles. You walk confidently through life, deeply aware that your peace never depends on circumstances. It depends solely on your internal mastery. Remember clearly, the ultimate emotional truth is simple yet profound. Master your internal world, and no external force can shake you. This mastery is your most essential life journey. Prioritize it daily, practice it consistently, and you'll become genuinely, profoundly, permanently, emotionally untouchable. When your inner world becomes calm, centered, and strong, nothing and no one can ever disturb your peace again. 11. Let them project. It's not yours to carry. We often take things personally that were never truly about us. Someone snaps at you, and you immediately assume you did something wrong. A friend withdraws, and you wonder if you've upset them. A colleague criticizes your idea, and you spiral into self-doubt. But here's a liberating truth that can transform the way you navigate the world. Most people aren't reacting to you. They're projecting their own inner world onto you. Projection is a psychological defense mechanism where people unknowingly attribute their own unresolved issues, fears, or insecurities onto others. A person who feels inadequate may accuse others of arrogance. Someone carrying guilt may label others as judgmental. A deeply insecure individual might constantly critique those around them to distract from their own inner discomfort. In these moments, you're not dealing with their rational thoughts. You're confronting their unhealed wounds. The danger comes when you internalize those projections, when you take responsibility for someone else's emotional pain. You absorb their negativity, you question your worth, and you allow their internal war to invade your peace. But once you understand that their emotional chaos isn't yours to fix or absorb, a profound shift occurs. You no longer become a container for other people's dysfunction. You become an observer, a witness, a stable presence in the middle of their storm, not a victim of it. Consider someone who constantly finds fault in others. They criticize your work, question your intentions, or mock your ambition. If you look beneath the surface, you'll often find that their words say far more about what's broken inside them than about anything real in you. Maybe they feel threatened by your progress. Maybe your confidence reminds them of what they lack. Maybe your peace irritates their restlessness. But instead of dealing with their own emotional discomfort, they throw it at you, hoping you'll carry what they can't. Marcus Aurelius understood this deeply. He wrote, "When you wake up in the morning, tell yourself, the people I deal with today will be meddling, ungrateful, arrogant, dishonest, jealous, and surly. But I have seen the beauty of good, and I will not let them harm me." He didn't say to avoid these people. He said to expect them, and most importantly, to protect your peace regardless. This is your challenge. The next time someone insults you, judges you unfairly, or treats you coldly, pause and ask yourself, is this truly about me? Or are they projecting something within themselves? More often than not, the answer is obvious. It's not about you at all. Their frustration, anger, or bitterness is spilling out because they haven't dealt with what's inside. Their words are a reflection of them, not a revelation about you. The more you grow, the more you'll see this clearly. And instead of reacting with anger or defensiveness, you'll begin to respond with compassion or even silence. Not because you're weak, but because you recognize that carrying their projection only invites unnecessary suffering into your life. And you've worked too hard for your peace to give it away that easily. But this isn't just about defending yourself. It's about learning to recognize your own moments of projection too. Sometimes we are the ones who lash out because of something unhealed within us. We might see judgment where there is none, or take offense where no harm was intended. True self-mastery means catching ourselves in those moments with humility and asking, "Am I responding to reality, or am I projecting my past?" When you begin to do this consistently, you step into a whole new level of emotional maturity. In practical terms, you can train this mindset daily. When you feel triggered by someone's behavior, resist the urge to react immediately. Take a breath and observe. Listen not just to their words, but to their pain. Recognize the signs of projection, exaggerated emotion, irrational blame, unnecessary judgment, and choose not to engage. Say silently to yourself, "This is not mine to carry," and then let it go. Protecting your peace doesn't mean avoiding difficult people. It means refusing to carry what isn't yours. It means learning to walk through the world with emotional boundaries strong enough to let love in, but firm enough to keep projections out. And when you live like this, when you allow others to project without absorbing their pain, you free yourself in a way that's hard to describe. You stop over-explaining, over-analyzing, and overthinking every interaction. You stop letting other people's chaos become your emotional responsibility. You begin living lightly, clearly, and confidently, fully anchored in your own truth, untouched by the storms around you. So let them project, let them misunderstand, assume, exaggerate. That's their work. Your work is to stay grounded, to respond consciously, and above all, to carry only what truly belongs to you. 12. Every reaction is a choice, not an instinct. It's easy to believe that our emotional reactions are automatic. Someone insults you, you snap. Someone ignores you, you feel offended. Someone embarrasses you, and your face flushes with anger. We grow up thinking, "This is just how I am." But the truth is far more empowering and far more uncomfortable. Every reaction you have is a decision, not always a conscious one, but a decision nonetheless. And once you realize this, you can no longer blame others for your inner state. You must own it. This truth is both a burden and a liberation. It's a burden because it removes your excuses. You can no longer say, "He made me angry," or "She ruined my day." But it's also a liberation because it means your peace is always within your control. You may not choose what happens, but you always, always choose how to respond. Modern neuroscience confirms what the Stoics taught centuries ago. Between stimulus and response, there's a gap, a space, and in that space lies your freedom. When something triggers you, your body might react quickly, your heart rate rises, adrenaline flows, but your mind still has a moment, however brief, to decide. Do you let the emotion take over? Or do you pause, observe, and respond with intention? The key to mastering this lies in training your awareness. Most people move through life reacting on autopilot, enslaved by emotional habits they never questioned. If someone raises their voice, they raise theirs louder. If someone disrespects them, they respond with offense. These reactions feel automatic, but they're just practiced. They've been rehearsed so many times, they feel instinctive. But you can rewrite the script. You can retrain your mind to pause instead of lash out, to breathe instead of retaliate, to stay calm instead of escalate. And the more you practice, the easier it becomes. What once felt like an uncontrollable reaction slowly transforms into a calm, deliberate response. Epictetus taught this principle clearly. It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. You cannot control what others do or say, but you can always control the story you tell yourself about it. That story determines how you feel, and how you feel determines how you act. Let's say someone cuts you off in traffic. Your immediate reaction might be to yell, feel offended, or even retaliate. But what if you paused and changed the story? What if you told yourself, maybe they're rushing to the hospital, maybe they're having the worst day of their life? Immediately, your emotional state softens, your anger fades. The situation hasn't changed, but you have. That's the power of response over reaction. This doesn't mean you become emotionless. It means you no longer become possessed by emotions. You feel them, but you don't let them drive. You observe them rise, but you don't obey them blindly. This is real strength. Not the ability to strike back, but the power to remain centered when others lose themselves. Training this ability takes time, but it starts with simple awareness. Catch yourself in those daily micro moments. When someone interrupts you, pause. When you feel jealousy rise, pause. When criticism stings, pause. Even a few seconds of conscious space can break the automatic cycle of reaction. And in that space, you have a choice. Do I want to react out of habit, or do I want to respond out of strength? You'll begin to see that many of the things that once made you angry, anxious, or offended no longer touch you the same way. Why? Not because the world changed, but because you did. You stopped being the victim of your reflexes and became the architect of your inner life. Over time, people will notice. They'll wonder how you stay calm in chaos, how you remain respectful in the face of disrespect, how you smile when others would seethe, and you'll know the secret. They're still reacting. You've learned to respond. This is mastery, not over others, but over yourself. Not by suppressing your emotions, but by becoming their conscious witness. You understand now. This emotion has arrived. I see it, I feel it, but I do not have to become it. So the next time you're triggered, ask yourself, is this how I want to respond? If the answer is no, pause, breathe, and choose again. That moment of choice is your superpower. The more you use it, the more untouchable you become. 13. Emotional detachment is self-respect in action. There's a quiet kind of strength that doesn't look like the strength we're used to. It's not loud. It doesn't shout back. It doesn't try to prove a point. This kind of strength simply walks away, not because it's afraid, not because it's cold, but because it understands something most people don't. Not everything deserves your emotional energy. Emotional detachment has often been misunderstood as indifference or avoidance, but at its core, true detachment isn't about shutting down your feelings or pretending you don't care. It's about choosing where and with whom you invest your energy, your vulnerability, and your attention. And that choice is an act of deep self-respect. When you emotionally detach from someone's drama, manipulation, or constant disrespect, you're not being heartless. You're honoring your peace. You're saying, I no longer allow you to pull me into storms that don't belong to me. That decision isn't cruelty, it's clarity. So many people live in emotional entanglement. They chase closure from those who won't give it. They over-explain themselves to those who've already made up their minds. They stay too long in conversations where their value is being quietly eroded. Why? Because they fear what detachment might mean. They equate emotional distance with rejection or failure. But what they don't realize is that clinging to relationships or situations that disturb your inner peace is the real betrayal, a betrayal of yourself. When you detach, you're not walking away from love or connection. You're walking toward dignity. You're choosing to stay connected to your values, even if that means disconnecting from certain people. You're saying, My well-being matters, my time matters, my emotional clarity matters. And when you live that way, something shifts permanently inside you. You no longer chase what drains you. You no longer feel the need to correct every misunderstanding or fight every battle. You develop an emotional stillness that no chaos can shake. Seneca once said, "A wise man is content with himself, not because he doesn't care about others, but because he understands that inner peace isn't a gift others give you. It's a decision you make for yourself." To embody emotional detachment in daily life, begin with awareness. When someone tries to provoke you, notice the emotional pull, then pause. Instead of reacting, ask yourself, "Is this worth my peace?" If the answer is no, detach, not with bitterness, not with revenge, but with quiet, clear boundaries. Sometimes that means saying less. Sometimes it means not replying at all. Sometimes it means removing yourself from conversations that go nowhere. You don't owe access to your emotions to everyone who demands them. Silence is a full sentence. Distance is a clear boundary. And walking away without explanation is sometimes the most powerful act of self-love you can make. Emotional detachment is also essential in your internal life. Not every thought deserves your full attention. Not every fear needs to be indulged. Your mind may stir up old doubts, insecurities, or guilt, but you can choose not to dive into every emotional wave. Detachment means observing these thoughts like clouds passing in the sky, real but temporary, present but not permanent. This detachment builds emotional endurance. When people try to guilt you, manipulate you, or gaslight you, you remain firm. Their tactics lose power because you no longer react from wounds. They're trying to reach places in you that no longer hurt. And here's the quiet truth most never learn. The more you detach from what doesn't serve you, the more space you create for what does. Peace doesn't come from controlling the world. It comes from not letting the world control you. Detachment is what makes that possible. So no, detachment isn't a lack of care. It's the highest form of care for yourself. It's an emotional boundary that says, "I will love, help, and give, but I will never do it at the cost of my soul." Respect yourself enough to walk away from what disturbs your peace. Detach, not because you don't feel, but because you do. And what you feel is this: "I've carried enough that wasn't mine. From now on, I choose peace." 14. Don't expect fairness, expect reality. One of the hidden reasons we suffer emotionally, one that most people never question, is our quiet, almost unconscious expectation that life should be fair, that people should treat us how we treat them, that effort should always be rewarded, that kindness should be returned, and that if we do everything right, things will somehow fall into place. But life doesn't work that way, and the sooner you accept that truth, not cynically but clearly, the freer you become. Because expecting fairness from the world is like expecting the ocean to be calm just because you're a good swimmer. The ocean doesn't care. It behaves according to its own nature, not yours. And people are the same. This isn't about giving up on goodness or letting go of your principles. On the contrary, it's about grounding yourself in a deeper form of emotional maturity. When you stop demanding that life be fair, you stop being emotionally devastated when it's not. You stop assigning personal meaning to impersonal events. You stop turning every disappointment into a story of betrayal or injustice. And instead, you simply see reality for what it is. The Stoics were masters of this mindset. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily that he would encounter rudeness, ingratitude, deceit, and selfishness, not because the world was broken, but because human nature is imperfect. He didn't take it personally. He prepared for it. That preparation wasn't pessimism. It was clarity. When you wake up each day and expect life to be fair, you set yourself up for unnecessary suffering. You walk into the world with emotional blinders, unprepared for the challenges, betrayals, and disappointments that are part of the human experience. And so when they happen, when someone lies or takes advantage of your kindness or ignores your effort, you're shaken, offended, hurt. Not because of what happened, but because you believed it shouldn't have happened. But when you wake up expecting reality instead of fairness, something shifts. You stop being surprised when things don't go your way. You stop feeling victimized when life is hard. Instead of thinking, "Why is this happening to me?" you begin asking, "What will I do with this?" You shift from resistance to responsibility. This is where your power begins. Consider how much peace you'd preserve if you stopped being shocked by life's unpredictability. What if you walked into every conversation knowing that misunderstanding is possible, but still speaking your truth calmly? What if you helped others knowing they might not thank you, but still chose to be kind because it reflects your character, not theirs? What if you gave your all at work, knowing that recognition isn't guaranteed, but still gave it anyway because it's who you are? This is the mindset of the emotionally strong. They don't depend on external fairness to validate their effort. They act in alignment with their values regardless of outcome. They understand that life will not always reward them fairly, and that's precisely what makes their effort noble. When you expect reality, you become unshakable. If someone is rude, it doesn't surprise you. You respond with grace. If someone is unfair, you don't waste time demanding justice from someone who isn't capable of it. You adjust your expectations and protect your energy. If things don't go your way, you don't spiral. You adapt, reassess, and move forward. Because you never expected ease. You expected life to be life. This doesn't mean you lower your standards. It means you stop outsourcing your peace to things you can't control. You stop needing others to act perfectly for you to feel okay. You stop chasing fairness as if it's a contract life owes you, and instead, you honor your values regardless of how the world responds. This shift doesn't make you hard. It makes you resilient. You're still kind, still compassionate, still driven, but now you operate from strength, not illusion. You no longer live on the edge of emotional collapse every time life reminds you it's unfair. You take a breath, you nod to reality, and you keep going with clarity, not bitterness. So expect people to disappoint you sometimes. Expect setbacks. Expect obstacles, but also expect yourself to rise, to respond with intelligence, and to hold your center no matter what. Because when you stop expecting fairness, you stop being broken by the lack of it. And in that space, something powerful grows. True emotional freedom. 15. Protect your peace like your life depends on it, because it does. If there's one thing more valuable than time, it's your inner peace. Time can be stolen, wasted, or even reclaimed in some ways. But once your peace is disturbed repeatedly, once your mind becomes a battlefield of stress, regret, and noise, it's not just your mood that suffers. It's your health, your focus, your relationships. Your entire quality of life begins to crumble quietly from the inside out. That's why protecting your peace isn't just a nice idea. It's a form of survival, a daily act of self-respect, and ultimately, a way of reclaiming your life from everything that doesn't deserve to rule it. We live in a world that constantly pulls at our attention. People want your time, your energy, your reaction, and most of them don't care what it costs you. They want you involved in their drama. They want you emotionally invested in things that have nothing to do with your purpose. And if you're not careful, you'll give them access to your peace without even realizing it, until you wake up drained, distracted, and disconnected from your own path. But here's the thing about peace. It doesn't scream. It whispers. It doesn't demand attention. It requires your protection. And if you don't protect it actively, the world will invade it passively. So how do you protect your peace practically? First, by mastering the art of saying no, without guilt, without over-explaining, without negotiating your boundaries. You don't owe anyone your energy just because they ask for it. You're allowed to walk away from conversations that drain you. You're allowed to say, "Not today," and mean it. Peace isn't about pleasing everyone. It's about choosing yourself enough times to become someone who can actually show up with presence and clarity when it matters. Next, protect your peace by setting boundaries with your own mind. You are not obligated to think every thought your brain throws at you. You're allowed to say no to overthinking, to guilt trips from your past, to anxiety that has no basis in reality. You're allowed to sit with a feeling without letting it spiral. Most of your suffering doesn't come from what happens. It comes from the story you tell yourself about what happened. Learn to question that story before it robs you of peace. You also protect your peace by filtering your environment. Who do you spend time with? What content are you consuming? What kind of energy are you surrounded by? These aren't small questions. They're everything. Just like you wouldn't leave your door wide open for anyone to walk in, don't leave your emotional life unguarded for every voice, headline, or toxic influence to plant seeds in your mind. Your peace is sacred. Treat it that way. And understand this. Protecting your peace doesn't mean avoiding problems or pretending everything is okay. It means facing life with calm and clarity, refusing to let external chaos infect your internal state. It means training your nervous system to stay grounded under pressure. It means holding on to stillness in the middle of noise, not because you've escaped the storm, but because you've anchored yourself deeper than the wind can reach. This is why so few people have real peace, because real peace requires discipline. It's not found in retreats or silence alone. It's forged in the heat of daily life. In the moment you choose not to argue, in the moment you stop explaining yourself to someone committed to misunderstanding you, in the moment you disconnect from a situation that no longer aligns with your growth. Peace is not something you find. It's something you create through boundaries, choices, and emotional intelligence. Seneca once said, "He who is everywhere is nowhere." And the same applies to your peace. If you give it to everyone, it will belong to no one, not even you. So be selective with where your energy flows. Be protective of your morning thoughts, your emotional bandwidth, your mental clarity. You are not a machine. You are a living, breathing soul. Your peace isn't a luxury. It's your foundation. Every time you choose peace over reaction, over drama, over proving a point, you build a life that feels lighter, stronger, and more intentional. You stop chasing control of the world, and instead, you master the world within. That's real strength. That's real freedom. So protect your peace ferociously, lovingly, daily. Because in protecting it, you're not just preserving your mood. You're preserving your mind, your mission, your future. You've made it to the end of this journey, not just through words, but through ideas that demand something deeper than agreement. They demand a shift from being ruled by reactions to ruling yourself. From being easily provoked to becoming quietly powerful. From carrying every insult, every misunderstanding, every moment of disrespect, to finally letting it fall away. Because here's what all of this really means. Emotional strength isn't a personality trait. It's a practice, a mindset, a decision you make, not once, but every single day. You decide not to react. You decide to let go. You decide to stay grounded even when everything around you is trying to shake you. And when you live that way, deliberately, inwardly anchored, life begins to change. People lose their power to disturb you. Their chaos no longer becomes your burden. Their projections no longer stick to your skin. You stop feeling the need to prove, to defend, to correct. And you start feeling something far more valuable, peace. Not because the world became kinder, but because you became calmer. This is the real goal, not to be above emotion, but to never again be owned by it. Not to become untouchable by shutting down, but by rising so deeply into your own clarity that no one can drag you down without your permission. You don't need to argue to protect your value. You don't need to react to prove your strength. Your stillness speaks for itself, and the people meant to walk with you will understand that. The rest can keep talking, while you keep walking. So carry this forward. The next time someone tries to disturb your peace, remember, you choose whether they succeed. The next time you're tempted to react, ask, "Does this deserve me?" And when the noise gets loud, the chaos gets close, and the world demands your energy, breathe and return to your center. That's where your power is. That's where your freedom is. And no one can take that from you unless you hand it to them. Don't.